Have you ever had the experience where some days you're absolutely filled with energy and vitality and you could do just about anything, yet at other times of your life you feel absolutely emotionally drained, sluggish, and you just feel down? Well, in today's episode of the Cliff Ravenscraft Show, I'm going to share with you a tool that could transform your life experience moving forward. It's called the Energy Audit, and we're going to talk about it in this episode of the Cliff Ravenscraft Show.
Are you ready to take your message, your business, and your life to the next level?
Want to learn from someone with more than a decade of experience, training tens of thousands of people from all around the world?
Hi, Cliff. This is Pauline from Auckland, New Zealand.
John from Calgary, Alberta.
Amy Porterfield.
Michael Hyatt.
Dan here from Dunedin, New Zealand.
Ray Edwards.
Mark Mason.
Mike Stelzner.
Pat from Smart Passive Income.
It's Darren from Melbourne, Australia.
Now is the time to live the life of your dreams and do the work you feel most called to do in the world.
Welcome to the Cliff Ravenscraft Show.
Here's your host, Cliff Ravenscraft.
My friend, welcome back to another episode of the Cliff Ravenscraft Show. I have a very special topic today, and I'm recording this episode in a very special location. I'll get to that in a little bit, but today we're going to be talking about the energy audit and how you can use this tool, this exercise, to begin to evaluate why it is that you may have fluctuating energy levels from moment to moment, hour by hour, day to day, and even location to location, habit to habit, behavior to behavior, all of the people that you're spending time with. If you find yourself having an experience of life where your energy is high, and then your energy is low. And don't forget, by the way, this also speaks to emotions, because emotions are literally energy in motion within your physical body. So whether it is just your feeling of vitality, that energy, I'm like ready to go, or if it is your emotional state, such as I feel a sense of awe, I feel a sense of peace, I feel a sense of anticipation, or I feel a sense of overwhelm, I feel a sense of dread, I feel a sense of hesitancy, I feel a sense of lack of self-confidence, whatever those things are. These are all energy. And so today what I want to do is I want to talk to you about something called the energy audit. Before I explain the energy audit, I want to tell you a little bit about where I am right now and perhaps why I'm here. I am sitting in the front seat of my car. My car is parked in the back parking lot of the Planet Fitness Gym in Fort Wright, Kentucky. As I am sitting here, I am overlooking a valley that's in front of me. The gym that I go to is way up on a hill. In fact, when you're driving up from the main drive and you turn on to the driveway that brings you to My Planet Fitness, it is like a very steep incline up a hill. And then if you can imagine driving past the gym from the front parking lot, and then here I sit in this back parking lot, and then I am facing the road that I turned onto to come up here. And to give you an idea how high I am, I'm sitting here in the front seat of my car, looking out over top of my steering wheel, looking over the hood, and I can't even see the road that I took to come up to Planet Fitness. So that's giving you an idea just how high I am up on this hill. Now, in front of me, there's this incredible valley. There's a Mike's Car Wash right down at the bottom of the hill. Across the street, there's one of those instant oil change places. There's a Walmart off in the distance. There's the expressway that comes from a hill that is opposite of where I am. So in front of me, to from my left, by the way, if I turn all the way to the left, I see downtown Cincinnati. And then there's a big hill off in the horizon. And that is just an absolute gorgeous, I wouldn't call it a mountain, but it's a big hill. And then there's a little bit of a cut in that hill where they actually brought the expressway, which is Interstate 275. And there are cars streaming in both directions. And then it cuts back into the hill again. And it goes into another little valley that is separate from the valley that I'm looking into. And there's hills over here. So I live in this beautiful hilly landscape of Northern Kentucky. It's not mountainous, and I am a mountain person. I love mountains, but I will settle at times for the absolute beauty of rolling hills and this gorgeous scenery that is behind or before me is just absolutely energy giving for me. In fact, I'm currently involved in a new season of an early morning routine. And my early morning routine started 2 weeks ago, actually. And 2 weeks ago, I made a decision to start getting up at 4 a.m. each morning so that I could spend the first few hours of each day in my own personal self-care routine. This has been something that has been a part of my life for many years, and it comes in seasons. There are times when I go months and months of getting up early in the morning, and then there seem to be disruptions and something that breaks that pattern, breaks that routine, and I can go sometimes a few months without having an early morning routine. Now, the interesting thing is that Monday of this week, I'm recording this on Wednesday, and it happens to be Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. So 4/24/24. Anyway, Monday of this week, I began coming back to this spot, this location, sitting here in the front seat of my car. And it's the first time that I've come to this environment, this place to do what I'm doing, early morning routine, since the pandemic shut down all of the gyms. Some of you may know my story that back in November 2014, I made a decision, I'm going to work out 6 days a week, every week for the rest of my life. And I absolutely lived up to that commitment in an incredibly powerful way for 5.5 years without fail, until something broke that routine. You see, during that period of time, I had done that. I made myself neural associations in my brain that allowed me to connect my identity to, I'm a guy who is a gym rat. I go to the gym every day, or at least 6 days a week, and I work out for a minimum of 45 minutes to an hour. And sometimes, and I must admit, I sometimes got a little obsessed about it, 1 to 3 hours a day. But anyway, the idea was I would have this early morning routine. I'd get up, come to the gym, and I would drive my car to this location, and I would sit here for the first few hours of the day, all alone, in silence, and I would read, I would listen to audiobooks or audio training programs on the way to the gym. I would read books and or highlight them or whatever, take notes on them in my journal, and then I would journal my thoughts about those things. And then I would do meditation and prayer. And then once I feel like, okay, I'm seeing the sunrise come up and I'm looking at what time is my first scheduled call of the day. Okay, now it's time to head into the gym. I go into the gym, work out for as long as I can, and then come back into the car and I would head home. And that used to be my routine. And for 5.5 years, that was amazing. By the way, I just want to stress, I did not always have the early morning routine part of that for the whole 5.5 years. But right before, all the way leading up to the day that I came here, had this routine, and then went to go into the gym, And there was a sign on the door that says, due to CDC recommendations, the gym is closed for 2 weeks. We'll see you in 2 weeks. And of course, that they did not reopen in 2 weeks. As many of you may recall, places shut down for quite a bit of time. But we're not going to go into that. That's not the whole point here. But what happened for me is I began to say, okay, well, what do I do now? And I'm not going to go into what happened. I may record another episode at another time to explain to you just how much the disruption of my routine and also the disruption of the identity, the new identity that I had created for myself, Cliff Ravenscraft, is an athlete who absolutely works out 6 days a week, every day of the, you know, every week for the rest of his life. And he goes to the gym and he does all this stuff. In the future, I may come back and share with you how the pandemic and that disruption really altered a lot of things, some in incredibly profound and positive ways, and some in not so incredibly powerful ways. Some of them are less empowering. And in the future episode, I'll talk about that. But because I want to talk about the energy audit today, I'm sharing all of this as a backstory to tell you about how much an environment can impact your energy. So here's what I noticed. When the gym was no longer available for me, it didn't make sense for me to drive here and sit in my car for a few hours at the beginning of each day and then drive home and not work out at the gym. So what I did is I had lots of free time at home, and I rearranged the next level studio, completely tore down the classroom setting. It was very clear that I wasn't going to be able to host live workshops for people to come and participate in our home for quite some time. So I tore down all of the classroom tables, all of the seating for workshops. And then I brought in some desks that I had in a different area of the home. And I set up for myself a separate creative desk space in the next level studio that was different from my work desk. And the reason why I did that is because when I sit in front of my work desk, I recognize that I tend to go into automated work mode. That means I'm sitting here, there's this computer, there's all of these various different monitors. There's all of the different items that are reminders of all of the things that I do for work. There's to-do lists that are instantly available and calling my name, and there's tabs with email inboxes opened up and all this different stuff. And yes, I could go down into my office and spend that early morning hour or those early morning hours in front of my computer, in my same workspace, at my same desk, and shut all of those things down, close down those windows, turn it off, and just open up a book and read and open up some journals and start writing. But I felt this consistent draw to do the things that I typically do when I'm in this location. So I'm like, wow, I'm going to go ahead and empty my email inbox. I'm going to get to inbox zero. Wow, I'm going to process my to-do items for the day and decide and prioritize. What do I really want to set as what I'm going to put my time, effort, and energy to? I'm going to ask myself, what's the one thing that I could do today that would make everything else infinitely easier or altogether unnecessary? And set my priorities for the day. And, oh, wait, I see that I have these scheduled calls. I'm going to go ahead and prepare some thoughts that I can share in this coaching conversation, or I'm going to prepare an outline for this week's episode or this week's meeting of the Next Level Coaching Program. I'm in work mode. And as a result of being in work mode, sitting in front of that computer, I recognize it's like, wait a second, I am not doing, it's like, it's great that I have this early morning routine. I love that I'm getting up early in the morning. But all I'm doing is I'm finding that now that the gym is closed, I'm coming down to my office and I'm sitting in front of my desk and I feel drained. this is not life-giving. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love my work, but all I'm doing is adding an extra 2 to 3 or 4 hours of more work on top of the work I was already doing. And I love my work, but I also need my self-care routine. I need to do the things that energize me. So for me, what I recognize is that that environment of sitting in front of the desk was not conducive for what I wanted to experience in those early morning hours, which is why I brought the other desks in. There are two of them. I put them side by side each other, and I put them in this blank, empty space in my next level studio, which is only about 15 feet away from my actual work desk. But they're kind of like, I don't see this creative space in the next level studio that I'm talking about. It's kind of around the corner. And so the next level studio is a pretty decent size. And so it's kind of like its own location. It's its own environment. And I keep the lights down low, and there's kind of, I set the studio lights up with colors to set the mood that I want to create, the environment. And then I have this desk, and I want you to imagine, instead of sitting down at my work desk with lots of monitors and all of the different windows and to-do items and apps and all these things that I typically automatically have muscle memory doing and calling at me, instead, I come down to my next level studio, and instead of going off to the side where my desk and workspace is, I instead go straight into the actual classroom workshop space of the next level studio, and I sit down at my creative desk, and I turn on this ambient amber, very warm, very low dim light that sets an atmosphere. And along with the actual studio lighting that has these colors, the hue lighting system is set to this ambient kind of just nice creative feel. And then I sit down and I pull up my journal and I start writing my morning pages, which is a term that's given to a specific type of journaling. Or I will begin listening to some Abraham Hicks materials or Tony Robbins materials. And that typically will start spawning a creative thought within me. And I'm like, oh, I want to write this down. This is really powerful. I think I'm going to share this in a piece of content somewhere. And I would have those early morning creative hours. And for an incredibly long time, and this went on for probably about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, I used that creative desk space very effectively for this early morning routine, this self-care practice. And it was so incredibly rewarding. Almost as much, and I thought, quite frankly, until Monday of this week, I thought it was just as much of a rewarding environment as where I sit right now. But Monday of this week, I learned that that was not the case. Now, let me finish by telling you the story of what happened and why I'm here today. Well, because of the pandemic, I did lose my routine of working out 6 days a week and all sorts of other things. Again, I'll go into that aspect of things maybe in a future episode of the Cliff Ravenscraft Show. It's very much detailed in my personal audio journal, which is called the Train with Cliff Audio Journal. Everything I've experienced since November 2018, every behind the scenes thing in my personal and professional life has been documented on a consistent basis over at trainwithcliff.com. Now, what happened for me is somewhere, somehow, there was a situation where it's like, hey, Cliff, I'm cleaning up, my wife would say, hey, Cliff, I'm cleaning up the loft and I need you to find all of the things that are yours in the loft, and can you find a different place for them? Because our loft area, which is up in the upper location in our home, has a couch in it, has a nice television in it, has surround sound, and it was a game room area for our family for a very long period of time, but it had become kind of like a store all. It was like a little storage space for everything. People were rearranging their bedrooms and whatever furniture was not going to be in the new rearranged scenario got moved into the loft and it got piled up. And eventually my wife's like, I'm cleaning out the loft. That's it. And by the way, Cliff, any of these things that are yours, I need you to get them out. Otherwise, they're going to the garage sale or they're going to Goodwill or we're donating them to this ministry. So you've got until tomorrow at noon to get your stuff out of the loft. And that was probably the initiation of this. And so what I did is I'm like, yes, I will definitely go and grab all of my things. And so I went and grabbed a bunch of things. And the best thought that I had at the time was I will go and set those on my desk in the Next Level studio. I didn't put them on my work desk. I set them on my creative desk. And then what I noticed is that this, by the way, this had happened at a time where I already was out of a morning routine. By the way, maybe this is something that could be helpful for you. One of the things that gets me sometimes out of a morning routine is the time shift. When we make this daylight savings time, whether it's in the fall and overnight we drop an hour, or if it's in the spring and we spring forward an hour. And it's usually one of those two that snaps me out of my normal routine. And it sometimes happens because I'm like, well, gosh, if I'm used to getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to, I'm going to go ahead and just start getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. But I wasn't adjusting my sleep schedule. And because I wasn't adjusting my sleep schedule, I was losing an hour of sleep. And that was starting to accumulate. And I'm like, I'm just going to go ahead and sleep in today. And then, routine, broken. All right, it's not a big deal. I'll get back at it. And then I usually do get in back. So this had happened. I'm not getting up. I'm not making use of my creative desk. Instead, I'm getting up, let's just say it's 7:30 in the morning. And instead of going down and having my early morning self-care routine, I put the self-care stuff, such as reading, studying, journaling, at another point in my day. And when I'm doing it at another point in my day, I would do it in a different location because it's daytime. And for some reason, that it doesn't make as much sense to be in the Next Level studio when it's 12:30 in the afternoon. Why don't I hop into my car, drive down to the park that's down by the Ohio River, sit in the parking lot. I get to overlook the river. I get to see all the trees and the woods that surround me. I get to see people playing in the park. This is amazing. And I will have my self-care routine there. So what happens is that I would find myself bringing these items and setting them on my creative desk. And then occasionally my wife would be like, hey, I found some things. And if I went ahead and just set them on your desk in the Next Level studio. Lo and behold, over time, this begins to accumulate. Now, since then, I've had several different seasons of super early morning routines. And the interesting thing is that they have been somewhat okay. That's been my experience. They've been somewhat okay. And the reason why, and it's become very clear to me now because of an energy audit, it's become very clear to me that it's because I would have my early morning routine, whether I'm up at 4:30 in the morning or 5 at those different seasons. I would get up, I would get dressed, I would grab myself some water, and then I would go down to my office, the Next Level studio, but my creative desk obviously is not a conducive place for creative activity right now. I still have not taken the time to find a home for all of this stuff that has been moved from the loft and other various locations in the home that has now found its home on my creative desk space. So what do? I go over to my reading chair, or I go over to the couch that I nap on sometimes during the day in my office. And those locations are not as conducive. By the way, those locations, my reading chair, wonderful for reading and highlighting. Absolutely. It is on a scale of 1 to 10. If I'm going to sit down and do a meditation and I'm meditating in my reading chair in my office, that is going to be probably about an 8 out of 10 on that location for that. It's a 10 out of 10 for reading. It's an 8 out of 10. These are energy levels, energy ratings that I would give to those specific locations in my office. So what I is like, okay, those are great for that. If I go over to my couch, meditating on my couch, that's a 10 out of 10. Reading on my couch is an 8 out of 10. And then it's like, well, for journaling, I can't journal. It's just not set up that way. I want to have a solid location that would hold a physical journal or would hold an iPad or would hold whatever I'm going to do. And I'd like to either be able to write or type, and doing that on my lap from my reading chair or my couch, 0 out of 10. It was not conducive for that. So what I would do, I would go and do my meditation on the couch and maybe read, not as good as sitting in the chair, but the meditation was good. And then I would go over to my desk and I'm like, okay, now I'm going to journal. And I didn't even recognize this was happening. This is how automatic routines in our conditioned, programmed subconscious mind, how it automatically runs patterns of behavior. I would sit in front of my desk and I would begin to journal. And I'm like, oh, I should add that to my to-do list. And of course, I'm going to add that to my to-do list because my to-do list is right here in front of me. And then I go and open up the to-do list and I add that item. And I'm like, oh, I see that item. Oh, I didn't think of, you know what? I forgot that I need to do that. And then I'm over here. And the next thing you know, I started my journal entry. But now when I sat down, it is now 45 minutes later. And in 15 minutes, I need to go do this. And I can't finish my journal that I was going to write, my journal entry, within 15 minutes. And so I do go in and I rush. And I'm like, now all of a sudden, I feel a little bit more overwhelmed. I feel a little bit behind. I know that this is all just in my mind, but this is what impacts my energy. And I wasn't even aware that all of this was happening. And so here's the scenario. This is what happened. And this is how we got to here. And then I'm going to explain to you how you can do an energy audit, specifically what an energy audit is, how to do it, and how to benefit from it. And it'll all make a lot of sense after hearing all of the details of this story. So the situation was that 2 weeks ago, I began getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning every morning. I've been up, and this isn't me bragging about that. I don't know how long this season will last. This is not a suggestion that this is what you should do. I'm not going to go into how many hours of sleep do you need, and you don't need to hear all the details about what time I go to bed at night and all the other different things. That's not what this is about. But 2 weeks ago, I made a commitment to myself. I'm going to get up at 4 a.m. every morning. And from 4 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock in the morning is me time. That's my personal growth, personal self-care routine time. 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. every morning. That is me time. So for 2 weeks up until this Monday, I was getting up at 4 o'clock. And it was good. That's how I would describe it. It was good. It was on a scale of 1 to 10. It was about a 6.5 to a 7. But all of that, during all of those, were done some variation of from my couch, from my reading chair, or my work desk. All three of which are not perfectly conducive for exactly what I have desired most to be my morning routine. So I was having a conversation with Stephanie about this, and she goes, I said, you know what's weird is I find myself, I'm getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm having my morning routine, all of these hours that I've had before, and I'm just don't feel like it's as good as it could be. There's just something off about it. And of course, we had also been having conversations about my workout routine and about how I feel about some commitments I've made in the past that I've not necessarily lived up to when it comes to the 6 days a week of working out and just a bunch of other stuff that has been going on physically for me. And she goes, well, you have been talking about getting back into your daily workouts. Do you remember when you used to get up at this hour and drive to the gym and sit in the parking lot of Planet Fitness? Why don't you start that again? And I'm like, oh my gosh. By the way, I had been going to the gym a couple of times since everything opened up since the pandemic, but not here, not Fort Wright Planet Fitness. I'd been going to the Lawrenceburg, Indiana Planet Fitness, and I had been going there because it's about 5 minutes closer than before, and it was more efficient that way, and all the other stuff. And it was just like, I'm just going to go in, I'm going to get my workout in this afternoon from 11 to noon, and then I'm going to, you know, 20 minutes in, 20 minutes out, boom, we're good to go. But here's the situation. I would have never in a million years chose to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and drive to Lawrenceburg, Indiana, and sit in front of that Planet Fitness. You talk about, I opened this episode explaining to you the beauty of the scenery that I have here before me. The Planet Fitness in Lawrenceburg, Indiana is quite literally a parking lot with a very large, very run down old shopping strip. And not only that, but there's a brewery right next door that, you know, constantly is got yeast that is fermenting to make alcohol, and it smells disgusting. And it's like, it is absolutely like, there is no way I would do my early morning routine. And quite frankly, I didn't like going to the gym many times just because of the smell of that particular location. Again, thinking about that. So I'm not just randomly chatting. I want you to hear how I'm describing these locations. Do you see how the actual environment of looking at rolling hills and the scenery of seeing the cityscape to my left and seeing the stream of headlights coming from the hills across from me, across the valley, and the stream of taillights going towards the hills across the valley from me. And when I started this episode, it was really dark, and the sky is starting to light to it's a very deep, but it's a much lighter blue now. When I started this recording, the sky was black. And the city, or the sun, is going to come up, and I'm going to get to witness the sunrise. I mean, that is, these are the things. And then, of course, imagine instead I'm sitting in a parking lot of a shopping strip that's old, it's run down, and it smells like fermenting yeast from the whatever Seagram's or Jim, I think it's Seagram's or something like that in Lawrenceburg. But anyway, I think there's a little bit of a sewage system, like treatment center across the road as well. It's not pleasant. Those things contribute to the energy of an environment. And the energy of an environment is conducive for some activities and not conducive for others. That's why I talked about the energy of a chair, the energy of a couch, the energy of a work desk, the energy of a creative space that's dedicated for this with the ambient lighting, the energy that comes from sitting in a park down by the river and being surrounded by the woods. So anyway, Stephanie reminded me, it's like, why don't you do that? And and that way, not only do you benefit from your early morning routine, you are back in that creative environment. You used to love this. This is when you were your most productive. This is when you were your most creative. Do you remember? And of course, I'm like, you're right. That's when I was doing my Reflections from the Front Seat daily vlogs. And she goes, yeah. And then I would go into the gym. And it's like that. Yes, I'm going to do that. I'm going to start tomorrow morning. This conversation happened on Sunday. I'm going to start tomorrow morning. I'm going to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to be at the gym But I'm gonna leave the house before 4:30 in the morning. I will be at the gym by 5 a.m. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to do the things that I did before, whether it's Tony Robbins or some other audio training program or audio book or whatever. I've got a 25-minute commute to the gym that I get to listen to personal development material, 25 minutes on the way home. I will get to there and I will park in that back parking lot. I will sit in that beautiful scenery. And yes, and I did. I came here Monday and I recorded a Train with Cliff Audio Journal podcast on my way here. And I parked here and I stopped. I couldn't speak. I was overwhelmed almost in a positive way. I was speechless about, like, it felt like home. I feel like I'm back home again. This is my space. This is my place. When I think of a scripture where it talks about early in the morning, before it was light, Jesus left the house and went off to a solitary place to pray. I imagine him going off to where he's up on this kind of, whether it's a mountain or a hill, and he's looking at the surrounding villages or whatever, and there's hills. And this is my place where I get up early in the morning before it's light, and I leave the house and I go to this solitary place to pray, to meditate, to read, to study, to grow, to nourish, to energize, to self-reflect. This is my energy place. This is the energy place for me to have my early morning routine. And it's perfectly conducive for as soon as I'm finished with this portion of my self-care routine to go into the gym and get at least a 45-minute workout, and maybe even longer if I have enough time before my first scheduled call of the day, and then drive home, get that personal development material even there, and then go home, take a shower, get dressed, have breakfast, and start my day. That is how all of this came about. And yesterday on the way home, I have an app on my Apple Watch Ultra, and it's called Just Press Record. And on the way home yesterday, I recorded a podcast episode about the value of an energy audit. It's like, wow, it's been a while since I've done an energy audit for myself. In my coaching sessions, clients come to me and talk about how they feel overwhelmed and they feel like they don't ever have the motivation or inspiration to get anything done. It seems like they don't have enough hours in the day. And it's just like every time they sit down to do something, they just don't feel like doing it. They don't have, and sometimes they will even say, I just don't have the energy for it. And I'm like, oh, let's talk about doing an energy audit. So now with all of that as the foundation, I want to now share with you what an energy audit is. So the first thing to understand is that an energy audit is a tool. It's an exercise that you can do, and it is incredibly easy. So the first thing that you want to do is you want to create a document or get a piece of paper and draw a line down the middle or make two columns essentially. At the top of column one on the left, write these words: what fills me with energy? Or you can just put fills me with energy. And then at the top of column two on the right, drains me of energy. So you're going to use this document to evaluate various different categories of things that give you that fill you with energy or drains you of energy. Here are the categories that I recommend. You might want to write these down, by the way. I should think to also put these in the show notes as well. But what you want to do is you want to do an energy audit separately. So I would encourage you a separate energy audit document with the two columns each for these categories. So I would do an energy audit document for people, an energy edit audit document for places, for things, for habits slash behaviors, and then also thoughts. There may be other categories that you might want to consider and that may occur to you that would be valuable at some point in the future. But these are the main categories. These are the ones that if you were to do this activity, it would be incredibly powerful. So for example, who are the people that when you interact with them, when you invest time and energy in interaction with that person, who are the people in your life that when you interact and engage with them, who are the people who fill you with energy and who are the people who drain you of energy? And by the way, I would encourage you to keep that document private just for yourself. Make sure you protect it. Write those things down and just be very honest. Be very transparent with yourself and go ahead and put it down. You can then, we're going to talk about what you do after you put these people on the left or right column in just a moment. Now, the next thing that you could do is what are the places? I've been calling it environment. So what are the places? What are the locations? What are the environments? And I've already given you an idea that these can be different places, locations, or environments within your same home, within your same office workspace, or it can be within your town or within your country or within the world. It could be, is it out in nature versus in the city? It could be, you know, have you ever thought about trying out working at the library for an afternoon, for example? Your local library. Have you tried about, some people go off to a Starbucks for an afternoon and get some work done. There's all sorts of places that you could play around with and test. How is my energy here? And don't just go there with one activity that you're doing and then find that this activity does not work well in this environment and say, well, that environment just doesn't work for me. Try your energy audit by trying out different activities in those different various environments to find out what is a good fit. Like I said, if I wanted to sit down and I knew that I wanted to dedicate the next 2 hours to reading and highlighting a book, I know that within my home, there are 3 different locations that I could go to do that. One would be my reading chair in my office, 10 out of 10 for that activity. The next one would be on the couch in our living room, as long as there's nobody else on that level of the home. And the third location would be, for me, we have a little reading nook. Stephanie has her reading chair. I have my reading chair in our master bedroom. And as long as nobody else is in the bedroom, actually, it doesn't matter if Stephanie's in there. If she's in there, she's usually reading as well. But sitting in my reading nook in our bedroom. So those are locations that I know are 10 out of 10 on an energy scale for the activity of reading. Now, none of those locations are good for journaling. None of those locations are good for recording a podcast episode. None of those locations are good for outlining a podcast episode. There's a lot of different things that you can think of when you're thinking about these different places, these environments. What are the things that you have? Are there some items that you've purchased that you had a lot of energy about, but today, whenever this thing comes to your mind, your energy is not as high? I remember for a very long time, there were certain things that I wanted to purchase, and I thought, man, I can't wait till I get this. And then I got it, and I'm like, wow, every time I invest playing with, using, and utilizing this thing, I get lots of energy around it. And then over time, I lose interest and I'm like, man, I invested a significant amount of money in that thing. But man, the thought of actually going and investing some time to go and use that is not as, I just don't have the energy for it right now. It seems to, the thought of going and doing that is a current drain. These are the good things to know. And you, by the way, it's valuable to do energy audits at different places and different seasons of the year, because sometimes those things shift, those things change. It's all about learning about what works best for you to give you the highest efficiency of energy, to figure out what are the people, the places, the things. And of course, we also, what are the habits or behaviors that you have that are filling you with energy or draining you of energy? By the way, filling me with energy I can just tell you what are some of the habits. Eating high protein, high fat, low carb, high protein, moderate fat, low carb foods is a habit that fills me with energy. However, eating sugar or high carbs, low protein, low fat kind of foods, those things actually drain me of energy. So when I think about what are the behaviors, my eating patterns, are they actually filling me with energy or draining me of energy? What specific ones are we talking about? When it comes to my physical fitness routines, you know, my behaviors right now, up until Monday, my workouts for the last several weeks have been walks out in the neighborhood. And it's like, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, I would rate this about a 7. However, thank you, Stephanie, my beautiful wife, who reminded me of this, like this entire perfect recipe. I going to Planet Fitness in Fort Wright, Kentucky, after having spent these early morning hours in the front seat of my car doing this creative time, then going into this specific gym. Now, this Planet Fitness is not in a shopping center. This Planet Fitness is massive. It's beautiful. It was built brand new about 7 or 8 years ago. It is two-story location, and everything in there is relatively new, high quality, very clean, very bright, and it is just it's just awesome. I love this Planet Fitness and its location. Its view from where I'm sitting right now is stunning. So I love, so working out here, 10 out of 10. The kind of workouts that I can get here, 10 out of 10. So again, what are the behaviors? Walking in the neighborhood for my workout? It's not an energy drain, but it doesn't give me the same level of energy if I did the same amount of time working out here. So that's what this is all about. I think you can understand the thoughts. What are the thoughts and beliefs that I have that, you know, that fill me with energy? What are the thoughts that drain me of energy? So I encourage you to create a document with two columns: fills me with energy, drains me of energy. Do one document for people, do one document for places, one for the things in your life, one for the habits and behaviors, and one for thoughts and beliefs. All right? Now, once you've done that, here's what I encourage you to do, whether it's journaling or whatever. Pick one energy draining item at a time and write it down. Next, I would encourage you to consider, why do you do this energy draining thing? Why do you interact with this energy draining person? Why do you do this activity in this energy draining environment? And actually ask yourself, what benefit does it provide? And there may be some benefit that it is providing, but I would encourage you to reflect on this. And if you are so inclined, I would encourage you to journal about it, write it down, document your thoughts about this, really evaluate it, see it, put it in concrete form that you can see and evaluate. Finally, I would encourage you to then decide how you could either remove this item or this person or this environment for this activity, how you can remove this from your life to stop the energy drain. Or you may want to journal about Maybe there are some people in your life that you don't want to eliminate. I get that. All right. So is there some way that you can alter the scenario or the situation or the thing or the environment in such a way that it switches from being on the left column, draining of you of energy, over to the right side of the column of filling you with energy? And this is incredibly powerful as well. And then just keep repeating this process for each and every energy draining item from each and every category. This I have done numerous times in my life. I've given this assignment to nearly, I would say, at least 85 to 90% of all of my long-term coaching clients. Everyone has experienced profound shifts in their energetic experience of life. Their energy levels improve. Their clarity is increased. Their overall enjoyment is risen. It is eliminating a lot of the overwhelm and the stress that they are experiencing. They're getting more clear about who they are, what it works best for them. And just because some of these other things work great for other people doesn't mean that it's a great energetic fit for them. And that's what I've learned. And of course, it took me, it's like, wow, I forgot about this spot here at the Fort Wright Planet Fitness in Northern Kentucky, sitting in this back parking lot. And I'm looking over this and it's 6:36 in the morning right now. I've been recording this particular section of this episode for about 50 minutes or so. And the sun is about ready to rise over the horizon. I am absolutely so excited to be reminded of this environment for this particular activity of self-care routine for me. And that's what I wanted to share with you today, the energy audit. If you found this episode valuable, I would love to hear from you. Please, I beg you, email me, cliff@cliffravenscraft.com. And put energy audit in the subject line and let me know if this resonated with you. And also let me know if you have done or will do an energy audit. This lets me know how much this content is resonating. It also will let me know whether or not it would be worthy of me continuing to produce content. It's also going to allow me to know whether or not it's worthy of my time and effort and energy to record reflections from the front seat instead of it being a vlog on my YouTube channel as little episodes that I would occasionally put into the Cliff Ravenscraft Show. So, would you like more of this content in the Cliff Ravenscraft Show, even if it's coming from the audio quality of what you've heard throughout this entire episode, which is pretty good? I'm actually, by the way, recording this into the Fairlight audio recording and editing application, currently recording into my iPhone. I've just been holding this phone in my left hand very still, so there's no movement noise of rustling with the iPhone. It's about 6 inches away from my mouth. And I already found that this audio app called Fairlight has a editing process or there's a filter in there that I can do, which is called, what is it called? Let me see if I can find the name of it. I'm going to pull it up here and let's see here.
Have you ever had the experience where some...
There we go. All right. So I'm going to hit final mix effects and it is called sound isolation. And it's something that's available for me on my iPhone 14 Pro Max and my iPhone or my iPad 12.9 inch M2 iPad Pro. So it's available on both of them, but sound isolation, and you can isolate your voice. And so this morning when I first started, the birds were singing like crazy mad. But chances are, excuse me, if you heard them, you just barely heard them. But if I didn't use the sound isolation, it would absolutely, you would have heard the, you would hear the hum. Matter of fact, you're probably not hearing the hum of the cars driving on the expressway in front of me, but I have done the before and after of this voice filtering, this sound isolation for the voice from Apple. It is absolutely amazing. The only thing is you can still tell that I'm not in a in my Next Level studio. I'm not sitting there speaking to a Heil PR40, and it does sound kind of like I'm in the environment of the front seat of a car, which is fine, I think, but I need to hear from you. Do you want more of this? Email me, Cliff at cliffravenscraft.com, and let me know. Until next time, I encourage you to take your energy to the next level. Mindset and Superman.